You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right. Ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Welcome to Sarah Talk. Holy shit. We're live.
Woo-hoo.
We are live streaming on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello.
So you're gonna have to stagger along with us a little bit here. I literally in the last hour put all of this together to see if we were going to be able to pull this off. Now I have to tell you, I haven't done a live broadcast since when did I leave radio? 20 some years ago? It wasn't that long ago.
Like the 90s, maybe?
Well, no, it would have been
early
2000s. Yeah, early 2000s. So we are going to try to take some live calls as well on the show today. 224-40-SARAH is the number. 224-407-2724. If you want to call in and talk about any of the topics that we're discussing. I, of course, am Sarah Austin. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, I am a transgender female. And this is my lovely wife, Becca.
Hello.
Who co-hosts the show with me from time to time. One of our rather regular co-hosts, David, is being a punk today and has not crawled out of bed yet. So
you can call in, David.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, let's get into our list. Today, we wanted to talk about National Coming Out Day. Tuesday this week was National Coming Out Day. So, God, what was it, a couple of years ago that I formally came out on Facebook?
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far off around this time of year. It wasn't on, like, It wasn't specifically for Coming Out Day.
I don't remember when it was. I want to say it was before Christmas, but right around this time of year.
Yeah. So I want to say to the people who decided to come out this year, who decided to come out on National Coming Out Day, I'm really proud of you. It's not an easy thing to do. It's so freaking hard. In fact, I was looking at some articles to include in the show today, and one of them was like the four Christian steps to how to respond to people, you know, when they come out. And it was miserable. It was the most awful thing I've read. And I mean, because it's like love them, show compassion, and then preach the Bible to them, which says you can feel this way, but don't act on it. And that just all that does is serve to drive the closet rates up that makes people not feel comfortable coming out. Our community has one of the highest suicide rates in all of the minority communities. So, you know, screw you guys. At any time today, again, if you'd like to call in, 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. We would love to hear your coming out stories, whether it was this year or not. You know, if you want to tell us about coming out to one of your family members or your close friends, coming out at work, that sort of thing, please feel free to give us a call and we'd love to hear your stories. We're going to start with North Carolina, my favorite worthless fucking state.
You don't get giddy when you hear the North Carolina
news? No. And it's almost worse than Texas.
Almost.
This governor in North Carolina, Pat McCrory, has this guy. And we said this last week. Unlike Indiana, where Governor Mike Pence, who is running on Donald Trump's candidacy as vice president, when he started seeing all the businesses leave their state and the financial impact that would have on their economy, he decided to say, hey, guess what? Maybe we pushed this a little too far in their Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Maybe we went a little too far. Let's walk it back. We'll talk it a little more. And, you know, maybe we can find some middle ground. This guy in North Carolina, Pat McCrory, he said, Jesus, and that's the way it's going to be. Businesses flooded out of his state, continue to do so. It's cost him a lot of money for their economy. And now this. So this article comes from Pink News. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. The governor of North Carolina has complained that he and his wife have lost lots of friends.
I saw that one.
Because of his anti-transgender law. North Carolina has lost a string of big investment ventures over Governor Pat McCrory's decision to sign the contentious House Bill 2, which voided all local ordinances protecting LGBT rights. It bans transgender people from using their preferred bathroom, and it permits businesses to discriminate against LGBT people on the grounds of religious belief. Of course, we've been following this story for quite a while. Some might say the biggest cost might be the huge economic impact on the state or the LGBT people in the state who now feel unsafe. But for McCrory, the biggest problem is apparently his social life. McCrory, who is currently fighting a tough re-election battle against Democrat Roy Cooper, folks, if you live in North Carolina, vote, 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 lamented losing friends in a speech to a listed anti-LGBT hate group, the Family Research Council. He said, and this is where it gets absolutely fucking nuts. He says, there's an Orwellian concept going on here, where what's happening to me and my wife, and they plan to do this with other governors. They're doing this to the business community. Is there purging any dissent on this issue? It's almost like the George Orwell book, 1984, where if you disagree with Big Brother or you go against the thought police, if you remember that book, you will be purged and you will disappear. They purge you. And my wife, for example, in Charlotte, she primarily stays in Charlotte. She's been disinvited to charity events. And basically, they call her up and they say, you know, you better not come. You better not come. He added that friends in the business community, quote, just this week told me they cannot support me. Although you've been an outstanding governor, we still cannot support you because HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, will attack us. And I've had at least five this week. Tell me that. At least five. Good friends. Very good friends have said, Pat, I love you. I love you, man. We'll be friends for life. I can't support you. He continued, we're being shunned for a political disagreement, a value disagreement, and I'll listen to the other side when they tell me, and I say I respectfully disagree with you. They do not say that to me. I wave to them with five fingers, and they wave back with one.
Okay. Wow. So, two thoughts on this. This is really the first time I've heard in anything regards to his wife. Has she come out and made any kind of statement whether or not she agrees with her douchebag husband or disagrees with his stand on this? I'm assuming she probably is going to fall in line.
Oh, sure.
With, you know, the money maker.
Yeah, and I don't know what she
probably,
does.
I mean, he's a politician. She's probably a kept woman. I would assume she's involved in charities if that's what she's getting disinvited to. So that was my first thought. But my second thought here is, has he been a closeted bigot his whole life? His friends are just now realizing what a horrible human person he is.
No, his friends are now finally being impacted by a decision that he's made.
I guess that's
where it comes down.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This, of all the things that you could possibly say about your situation here, we are being shunned for a political disagreement. If anyone knows anything about shunning, it's religion.
Mm.
It's the religious communities. And maybe not the, you know, the watered down Christianity that he subscribes to, but there are plenty of Christian-based religions that as soon as I came out as trans, your family should disown you and nobody's going to talk to you anymore and you're out of the church and we don't talk to you.
Right. Well, and that's the flip side of the coin, because now he has something to sympathize with all of these people who he's affecting in a negative way.
You would think.
You would hope, but he won't see it
that
way.
No, he's not saying that. Not at all. All right. The next story. The headline has the word boy and skirts.
Hmm.
But it's not what you think. Coming from a trans woman.
Okay.
This article, also from Pink News. Boy has impure thoughts. Blames cheerleader's skirts, and you'll never guess what happened next. The student at Temp View High School had impure thoughts after seeing the squad in their uniforms. And this was also reported by People magazine. So his mother wrote to the school and complained. After the formal complaint was made, rather than helping the male student to deal with the thoughts, the school's administrators appear to have punished the entire cheerleading squad. You want to take a guess what state this is in? I'll give you three guesses.
Texas.
No.
North Carolina.
No.
Illinois. I don't know. That's my...
This school is in Utah.
Oh, why didn't I think of
Utah? See, you should have gone there. Administrators told the cheerleading coach at the school, who told the 44-strong cheerleading squad, this is a huge group of cheerleaders, that they should not wear their uniforms to school Friday before the next game. And we did, like, when I was in school, that was a...
part of your, like...
Spirit day. Yeah.
I'm a cheerleader, and I'm going to wear my uniform because I earned it. And that's a hard uniform to earn, people.
Right?
In my opinion, I think that's a little harder than a football uniform.
Not even just because of the athletics involved, but there's a social component. There's a popularity contest and all that bullshit.
You have to be on point all the time.
So the school district has denied that the squad was told not to wear their uniforms.
Of course they did.
A spokesperson for the school district told Fox 13 that was not the case, but People reports that the administration is attempting to, quote, find out exactly what the cheerleaders were told. One of the cheerleaders' parents said, "I was shocked when my daughter came home and told me we can't wear our uniforms on game day. They're giving boys dirty thoughts."
Way to reinforce the rape culture as it is.
Right, and one of the girls said that too. She said that she thought the school was almost supporting a rape culture.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, what are you teaching? What are you teaching this boy, first of all, and what are you teaching the girls on the squad? It's that, you know, one of these days you might get raped, and it's because you dressed provocatively.
Right, and you're teaching this boy that if a woman is dressed like this, it's okay to rape her.
Right. It's okay. It's okay for you to have impure thoughts, but she should have been covered up so that you wouldn't have had them.
You know, we should be teaching the girls how to defend themselves in a situation where they need to physically, like, fight off an attacker.
Right.
And we need to be teaching these boys to have respect for women. And if they have impure thoughts, that's normal. But
we're talking about horny teenagers.
Right. And how do you reverse that? These teenage boys that are going to the gym and they're working out and they're looking good and they're on the football team. Why is it okay for them to take their shirt off after football practice and stir up all the girls that
Co-ed gym class.
Yeah.
And it was shirts and skins all the time when we were playing flag football or whatever.
Because I'll tell you, as a teenager, I would get hot and bothered just as much as a boy would probably on the opposite side. Like when you're, what you're attracted to, if you see it, you're going to want it. But you need to learn and be taught how to control those feelings.
Absolutely.
Both ways.
It saddens me that it's the school that's not.
Yeah. Especially since they're the ones that had to approve the uniforms to begin with.
Right. Right. I mean, what are we going to do next? They're going to have to wear the pant version. They can't wear the skirts. Is that the next thing?
Well, and what does that do to your routine? Because we all know how flexible you need to be, and you just can't do that when you're wearing pants.
Right.
That's why they wear skirts and a leotard.
The next story that I have, and again, if you want to talk about any of these stories that we're discussing today, you can call 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724, and we'll try to take your call live while we're doing the show live here. And when you listen to the show either on sarahtalk.com or on Patreon or all of the other, it's on like 16 Stitcher, different places now.
Stitcher?
Yeah, Stitcher, Deezer, Player.fm. There's a million of them. If you're listening to it on that, you're going to be hearing the edited version. So you won't hear all of my ums and uhs. The next story is from BuzzFeed. And I wanted to talk about this one in particular because this led to a very interesting conversation that I on Twitter in the middle of the night. And first, let me preface this by saying, I don't Twitter. That's not my thing. I'm getting old. That's part of the problem.
Tweet. That would be the first indication that that's a very true statement.
I posted a Twitter. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm a Facebook girl, okay? That's what I do.
It's like sent out a tweet, honey.
I get it. Okay. I saw the article. It may have not even been BuzzFeed, but I saw an article where Trump fans were now starting to tweet hashtag repeal the 19th, okay, to like repeal women's right to vote. And I thought it was really stupid, so I tweeted a quote from Mary Poppins that I liked, which is, though we adore men individually, we agree that as a group, they're rather stupid.
Which is on point.
And it was a joke. I wasn't trying to be anti-male. That was basically like, seriously, are we really in 2016? Are we 1916? What are we really talking about this right now? And two people responded. Two people that don't follow us. So that's, I thought it was kind of surprising. Somebody who was following the hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, the trolls have come out. The first one was a troll. Clearly, no questions, inarguably a troll. And their point was, I wrote it down. Their point was, you're stupid. That's basically what they said. And now that person appears to have blocked us. I went to try to go back to get the actual exact tweet, and I can't see it now. Oh. So they must have blocked us.
Interesting.
Which leads more into the belief in the trolling account. But the other person I got into a really good conversation with in like private messaging after we'd gone back and forth a little bit. He mistook my song quote as intentionally being anti-male.
Right.
And which is a joke, but you know, humor doesn't come through on the internet, right? So we kind of went back and forth, and finally he said, look at this, and showed me a breakdown of a bunch of tweets with this hashtag that basically were identical. They all said the same thing, which leads you to believe that there are bots at work. And so that kind of calls into question the authenticity of the trending of this hashtag. So were Trump supporters actually trending this hashtag, or were bots trending it, right? You know, these sites like BuzzFeed, and the article, I got this from BuzzFeed, right? BuzzFeed, Upworthy, Trend Frenzy, all of those kind of places. They're click news websites, right? They feed on you clicking and displaying ads and clicking on ads and ads popping up and forwarding you to another page and the new internet that I hate so much. And that's the kind of websites that this stuff comes from. But they start it, and then it rolls into that. Then it becomes news. Now it's trending. So now ABC and NBC and CNN and all these places are picking it up. So let me read a little bit of the article here, just so you kind of get an idea of where this came from and what people were saying about it. On Tuesday, Nate Silver of 538 tweeted out a graphic showing the current split between male and female voters in the election. According to Silver, if only women voted, Hillary Clinton would win by a landslide. However, if only men voted, Donald Trump would dominate. Trump's son Eric later sent out just the map of the male vote in a fundraising email to try to inspire the voters, but he neglected to mention that the map only showed men voting, and then he was mocked, you know, terribly online.
Of course. Is this the same son who hadn't registered to vote in time for primaries?
I don't know if it was or not. So then the article says, but for some Trump supporters, the solution to the map was simple. Why not take away women's right to vote? Mm. So they began to tweet about repealing the 19th Amendment, which granted women the right to vote, using the hashtag repeal the 19th. Quote, if women are the only thing stopping the greatest president this country has ever seen, why not hashtag repeal the 19th, said one logical gentleman.
That's a leap.
I question your logic. It wasn't just men. Some women agreed, believe it or not, saying that the 19th Amendment was clearly a big mistake. Quote, I'd be willing to give up my right to vote to make this happen. End quote.
Wow. Crazy people.
Yeah. Well, but is it people?
Well.
Right?
Or is it paid people to pose as real people?
Do the political parties have fake accounts set up and ready to go? The last thing here, it says the Trump supporters were soon drowned out by people horrified at the suggestion, like I, that women should lose their rights. So if you look the hashtag up, then all you would see is people going, are you crazy? This is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So this person said, hey, look, don't buy into everything you read on the BuzzFeed. His position was that this was put forth by the left, that this was put out as a smear campaign against Donald Trump. And at first I would have said, I don't believe that because in looking at the tweets that I can see, I don't see evidence for that. And then he gave me account after account after account, and they weren't retweets. Like, okay, I'm not great with Twitter, but I know what that is. Mm. So it wasn't a retweet. It was a legit, like, people had typed it in or a bot.
Right.
So it was more than likely a bot. And so I tell you that story to tell you this story. And that is, you know, when you try to look at these things from a position of science, which is something that I try to do with all things, and this is my religious position as well. But if you're going to consider yourself a free-thinking scientist type of person, then you have to apply this to all aspects of your life. And this is a great example of that, where I had one belief going in that people in the Trump campaign had absolutely lost their freaking minds and were pushing for this amendment to be repealed. But when presented with new evidence, I am forced, in the way that I think, I am forced to reconsider my position mm-hmm. when new evidence is presented. And sometimes the new evidence is not convincing, and sometimes it is. So that's, if I could encourage you to think like that in all things.
I'm just proud of you for not replying to this guy over and over. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
That's Trump. That's how Trump replies to this. All right. What would you consider yourself like really good at? Like an activity or a... Like, I prepared this for David,
you,
and then that little
really
punk ass
at?
Bitch
you're
didn't
really
show up.
David,
so.
What's your problem? Gosh, I'm really good at creating meals, I guess. I'm good at
cooking.
The kitchen. Cooking.
Perfect. Okay. So let's pretend that there is a world championship cooking competition, right? And you're like America's number one chef.
Wow.
All right.
Screwed.
You're like top five. All right. At least top five. And they told you that the next world championship event that we were going to have, everyone has to wear a fedora. While and I specifically chose fedora for this experiment because I don't care who you are, you look like a fucking idiot while wearing a fedora. It is the Crocs of headwear.
I'd like to point out right now, I have never worn a fedora. I can't even say fedora.
Okay so imagine this championship, you are required to wear a fedora. Do you wear the fedora? How do you feel about that?
I don't care so much. If it's a fedora, it's not.
What if what if only the men are required to wear the fedora? The women don't have to. Does that change the dynamic at all?
Well, yeah, of course it does. I don't think that would be fair if I were the only woman to not have to wear a hat. I mean, if it was equal playing ground, it wouldn't matter, but it's just a hat.
Now, what if the reason they were making you wear the hat was because it said so in some dusty old fucking book? How does that change your opinion of you're an American who doesn't wear a fedora going into?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to see this book and I would want to know, what is this book all about? Who wrote this book? Is this the forefathers that founded the National Cooking Championship of America?
Well, a number of chess players, including the U.S. women's champion, Nazee Pikidze. I'm going to fuck up every one of these names. Nazee Pikidze have called for a boycott of the February 2017 games over concerns that they will have to comply with the Islamic Republic's compulsory headscarf law. Okay. Mitra Hejazipur, a woman grandmaster, WGM for future reference, who won the 2015 Asian Continental Women's Championship, told The Guardian on Friday that a boycott would be wrong and could undermine hard-fought efforts to promote female sport in Iran.
What sport is this?
This is chess.
Okay. I'm making sure that I heard that right.
Yeah,
I thought that's what you said.
I kind of question the legitimacy of calling this sport, but whatever.
Okay,
so we go to Iran. Iran is hosting the world championship. And because it's in Iran,
you have to abide by
it. All women will be required to follow their law.
You know, sometimes I think I went in Rome.
Would you go to Rome, though, in that case?
Like
would you,
yeah.
Would you say, that's fucking stupid, I'm not going
right.
to Iran?
Like, I think that's where you really have to educate yourself. Like, what is the reason for this tradition? Am I really going to be offended by it? Is it going to affect my ability to compete?
Sure.
There's lots of factors. I think bottom line is if it bothers you that much, then no, you don't do it. Like, but it's like when you, I think of, you know, going to a funeral in a church and I'm not a religious person, but I love this person. So I'm going to go and, you know, go into their church to pay my respects and do what I have to do. But I mean, I understand it's two different things.
Right.
But it's
if there was
like,
some goofy ritual that you had to do as a part of that, and I think that would change the conditions. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
224-407-2724. 224-40-SARAH. Let us know what you think about this. Continue on in the story from The Guardian here. This is going to be the biggest sporting event women in Iran have ever seen, which says a lot about women in Iran, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to host any world championship in other sporting fields for women in the past. And this is the Mitra Hejazapur, the woman grandmaster. It's not right to call for a boycott. These games are important for women in Iran. It's an opportunity for us to show our strength. Certainly, it's an opportunity for you to show your strength, but don't require me to follow your crazy religious practices.
It needs to be an equal playing field. Like, if we respect you enough to let you wear your whatever you want to wear during this, you need to respect us enough to realize that we don't believe that way and I don't want to wear it, or, you know,
right.
You know, that creates a less hostile environment, I would think, equal mutual respect.
Mm-hmm. Her comments were echoed by, why are there so many goddamn names in this article? Their comments were echoed by Gonchek, Gavami. I can't do it.
You look,
Gonchek Gavami. It's the very last paragraph there. Good luck.
Oh, that's Gonchek Gavami.
All right, yeah,
that
great.
That sounds good. The last name is probably like the J is pronounced as an H.
Mm.
Hajizapur. That's
okay.
How I would say it.
Right.
Mitra Hajizapur.
Exactly.
That would be my best guess.
Are you going to keep reading?
Oh, where were you? Sorry. I just wanted to look at the names. Gohanchek Gavami.
That's exactly.
A British Iranian woman who spent 5 months in jail in Iran for campaigning to allow women to watch men's volleyball games in stadiums.
Gavami, whose time in jail drew international attention, said from Tehran, "The world must hear the pro-reform voices of people inside Iran and not ignore these pleas by isolating the country." I would love to come liberate you. I would. But I can't change your laws. And by me conforming to your stupid laws, it doesn't.
Right.
I don't think.
Hey, come over to America. You can, you know, well, maybe.
Right, where we're going to discriminate against you if you wear your hijab.
Well, yeah, that's true. What do you do? There's no law in America that you can or can't have to wear, you know.
Right.
Hopefully it'll stay that way.
Gavami said, "Millions of people in Iran believe in women's right to choose whether or not to wear the hijab and had shown their opposition to the policy." She was referring to women risking arrest by defying the morality police and lobbying to obtain social rights, such as being able to play more sports. So great, they've been trying to change the conditions there.
Well,
That's great.
It might take a little bit longer.
Calls to boycott the country would only serve to hurt women in Iran, she added. I am firmly against the international community using the compulsory hijab as a means to put pressure on and isolate Iran.
That's kind of like a double-edged sword, because in some ways it might catch the attention of the people in roles of leadership that maybe we do need to change.
Right.
Because, I mean, if they have an event like that and it brings in people from all over the world, that's going to give a boost to their economy. And they want that, I would think. So
wearing the hijab has been an integral policy of the Islamic Republic since the 1979 revolution. Foreign dignitaries have adhered to the rule while on Iranian territory. So what's her name? President Hillary Clinton goes to Iran. She's got to wear one while she's there. Is there anything here in the U.S. that would be on par with that? Something that we would make someone from another country visiting do? Not necessarily for religious reasons or anything like that.
The only thing that comes to mind is that if Caitlyn Jenner goes to South Carolina, the governor's going to make her use a men's facility at the university. I don't think we do that here. I just, like, even at our sporting events, the ceremonious tradition of saying the pledge or singing the national anthem.
Oh, there you go. No, there's an example.
But there's a law that protects you that you're not required to participate.
Fair. That's true. No, you're right.
I mean, while some people might give you a side eye, if you don't, you're still protected by the law.
224-407-2724. If you want to talk about this or any other topic, any topic, in fact, it doesn't have to be one that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, change it up.
Pie kids? What? God, a Georgian American. This is, what did I say? I can't pronounce any of these names. A Georgian American who holds the titles of International Master and WGM told the Telegraph on Thursday it was absolutely unacceptable to host one of the most important women's tournaments in a venue where, to this day, women are forced to cover up with hijab. Nigel Short, a British chess grandmaster, called on the sport's governing body to find a different venue, telling the Times the hijab is a symbol of Islamic oppression. But Hejazapur, a student at Tehran University and one of Iran's 5 WGMs, pleaded with her compatriots to come to her country despite the rule. Okay, and I've underscored this. I understand that it may be difficult for them to wear the hijab, but I want to tell them that if they show understanding and patience, and if they come to Iran, there is also a positive side to look at. I understand that it may be difficult for them to wear the hijab. I can only think, like we talked about when I went to court, right? And I know that we have options, mm-hmm. but if they forced Americans in this country to put their hand on anything other than the Bible, if that was the requirement, mm-hmm. if you had to put your hand on anything else, people would lose their shit.
Yeah. It makes me feel really bad for these women over there because they don't really know any different. And so
many of them, yes.
And they're not only do they, this is their beliefs and how they were raised in their culture and all of that stuff. You know, it makes me wonder, like, these women that are trying to, they want to compete in this thing. And what are the men in their lives saying about these American women who, like, because I've been, you know, in those situations where any opposition is, well, they're working for the devil or they're just working against you or they, you know, whatever it is, whether it's religious or not, if you're not for us, you're against us kind of mentality.
Right. No, absolutely.
And so that can be very crippling to these women. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel bad for them because women here in America, unless you've been in a situation where you've been the victim of some kind of emotional or physical abuse or sexual abuse or been stuck in a cult or some kind of situation where you have no control over your own decisions, you can't relate to these women. So you right. just think, oh, it's just a hijab, whatever.
And again, these are often countries that women are not allowed to go to school
right.
and get an They're education and learn about the world.
Extremely oppressed.
Iran is a beautiful place and has an amazing culture, she says. If Iran can host this event, it will be a big step for us. It will help our women chess players and it will boost women in other sporting fields. It will pave the way for them too. If I could rewrite that, I would say Iran is a beautiful place and has an amazing culture. I'm sure it is. If Iran could host this event without requiring all of its patrons to conform to this crazy mm-hmm. religious law, then absolutely it would be a big step for everybody.
Right.
So here's some things about Iran to note, because I didn't necessarily know this either. Women can vote and drive in Iran.
Okay.
I
might have known that they could vote.
But their court testimony is worth only half that of a man.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Okay, so which words? Which half of this?
Right.
Did they just take out the words that did that? God. That's just bogus.
Right. And they also face inequality over inheritance rights. Hmm. But they have a strong presence in civil society. Women in Iran have held senior government jobs. country currently has a number of female vice presidents and one female ambassador. What do you think? If you were participating in such a sport and this was the requirement, would you play along? 224-407-2724. Let us know what you think. If you're listening to this after the live feed, you can call as well still. It will ring to our voicemail. Please leave us a voicemail and we'll play your thoughts on the air as long as they're appropriate.
We're already labeled not safe for work, so all right, I guess it shouldn't be.
You can tell me to fuck off and I'll play it. This week, before we go, I have one last story before we go into this. This week marks a first for the show.
What would that be?
We have our very first patron.
Oh.
So I want to stop and take a moment to thank Andrea K. And I'm going to say it twice. I'm going to say Andrea K. And I'm also going to say Andrea because I have a friend whose name is Andrea. And she actually just posted something recently about how it pisses her off that that people pronounce her name wrong. Yeah. So just to be safe,
whoever you are,
I have pronounced enough names wrong on this episode. So thank you so much, Andrea. We really appreciate what you're allowing us to do. Again, if you want to become a part of this, it's patreon.com/Saratalk, and you can support the show that way. Patreon, the way Patreon works is you pledge to donate per episode. And right now we're doing pretty much weekly. So you could say, I want to donate $1, $2, $5 per episode. And then you get charged once per month for the number of episodes in that month that were published. Now, we are still working on some additional patron-only content, some shows that will only be released to patrons. So if you want access to that stuff, we've only done one so far about the election. We're planning on doing some more. So if you want to be part of that, please go to Patreon. We also have PayPal. If you'd prefer not to do the recurring per creation model, you can go to paypal.me/Saratalk and do a one-time donation that way. Anything would be super helpful. We still have some updates to do to the studio here. I don't know if you can see Becca's mic stand is like, so mine is on,
it's a dinosaur,
on a studio boom. And yeah, Becca's is on this, this old stage stand. So
from like 1972.
Yeah. So we've got some studio upgrades that we want to do. And you're also helping us pay for our internet hosting for the website, all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But then we want to take the show on the road and kind of get out into the public more and be a little bit more involved in our local community here, where we do like live broadcasts with some events that we're trying to figure out how to do. The Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is coming up next month. So I'm trying to figure out how to line all those things up, and anything you can do monetarily will help us get that going as well. But again, Andrea, thank you. You are a charter patron. You're a founding member of the show here. You took our Patreon virginity.
Wow. The cherry. I believe there was a past episode that said David was going to give hugs or something.
Yeah, David will give you a hug.
David, wake up. You have a patron to hug.
Come on, David. You disappoint. I have one last story. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really. You have your 1 year coming up.
Oh my God, we didn't really talk about that. Yeah,
I mean, you didn't.
This week, well, right. So I think I posted a picture to the Facebook.
Yeah.
Also, this week on the 12th, today is the 14th. On the 12th, I celebrated my 365-day, 12-month, 1 year mark on hormone replacement therapy. So I have been on the drugs for a year now. I actually have an appointment next week to follow up and see how that's all going. But so far, so good. If you have questions about what these drugs do, we've talked about it on previous shows, but I'd be happy to give you some of my thoughts and how it impacted me.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about in the beginning of the show a bit about my favorite governor, Mike Pence.
Say it again.
My favorite. Oh, Indiana. When is a hate crime not a hate crime?
Ooh, interesting.
Mm. Do you know the answer?
Well, when the law supports your bigotry, I guess. I don't know.
When it happens in Vice Presidential nominee Mike Pence's home state of Indiana.
Okay. Same thing.
Indiana does not have a hate crime statute. So, for Crystal Cash, a transgender woman who was shot in the face, police will not be pursuing hate crime charges against the man who Cash alleges shouted an anti-gay slur at her before shooting her. This comes from the Raw story. Cash, 55, is currently unable to speak after being shot in the face at her Perfect U permanent cosmetic shop in Evansville, Indiana last week. The case has been complicated by the police, who have implied that Cash is a prostitute. Not that that gives you the right to fucking shoot someone in the face. And by whether her assailant, identified as Gerald Duane Lewis, a.k.a. Gadiel Ben Israel, belongs to an organization identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. The SPLC identifies Lewis slash Israel's church as violently anti-Semitic and anti-LGBT. The Israel United in Christ Church on its Tumblr page. First of all, that it uses a Tumblr page? Come on.
Yeah.
I try. Tumblr is like the MySpace now of social media.
Yeah,
like it's just full of 13-year-olds, yeah. Right? Denounces interracial marriage as a sin and an abomination, and also commands its followers not to vote, which is kind of interesting. In recent posts, it commented upon a recent house fire that killed 7 children, that it was a lesson to be learned about defiling the Sabbath. The organization posted a note on its website denying that Lewis was a current member of the group. Well, either way. When the Evansville Courier Press reported on the arrest, it paraphrased the police report as, investigators noted in the arrest affidavit, the Cash operates a known massage parlor in one of the spaces in the building where the shooting happened. Again, not that that makes any right to shoot someone in the fucking face.
Okay. So they deny he's part of the group. That means absolutely nothing. Nope. And I know how these groups work. They all work on the same mindset that if you do something that brings bad attention to us, you're out. We'll cut you off. And
sure.
once they say you're cut off, then they, in their mind, have the right to say, oh, no, he's not associated with us.
Right.
So that's A. B, did this guy have this gun? Was this legally obtained? Do we know any information on that yet?
Oh, we do.
Did he have the gun legally?
No, of course not.
Oh, darn. Okay. Well, because then my next thing was, with a name like, I'm not going to even try to pronounce it, was he on the no-fly list? And if you're offended by that, sorry, but...
Right.
Let's just be honest. That's a great big problem here. There's people on the no-fly list that have been able to obtain guns legally, and that's a big problem in this country.
It is not clear why police mentioned that Cash, who runs a cosmetics business where she is listed as licensed in several professional cosmetic practices, allegedly advertises a, quote, massage parlor in the police report. Cash's brother refutes the police version of events and says that his sister allowed the suspect into her shop in order to use the bathroom. Johnny Dickens, Cash's brother, says that his sister has been in a, quote, committed relationship for 20 years. He alleges that police are trying to portray his sister as a prostitute rather than as a transgender businesswoman who was targeted by a Christian extremist.
I believe that. Coming out of Indiana.
It's Indiana, exactly.
I mean, that's not a far leap.
According to Courier News reports, there was an initial confusion after the events as police reported that a, quote, man had been shot. Cash was able to describe the suspect in writing, whom she said was wearing an Israeli Christian t-shirt. Lewis slash Israel is being held on $5 million bond.
Wow. Okay.
$500,000 cash for attempted murder, robbery, and carrying a handgun without a permit.
My money is on somebody is going to borrow some money from this church that he's not supposedly associated with to get him out.
Definitely.
So I'd like to see them try to trace the paper trail of money, because I bet you anything, if he does get out on bond, that's where that money came from.
Absolutely.
Disgusting. Why are you going to end on such a crappy story?
I'm sorry. I don't have anything.
Seriously, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I know I try to end it on a good note, but... Okay, I'll end it on a good note. I wasn't going to do this one because I want to get her on the show to tell her story herself. But we've also been following Kendra Brill, who is also a transgender woman, like me. And she had issues with her name change. So if you've been following along, when I went to have my name changed, we talked about this and that, you know, some of the things that I was concerned about, that you get a backwoods conservative judge that's like, nope, don't believe in that transgender stuff. And I'm not going to let you do that, which goes against the law, at least here in Florida. And that in our research, there are really only a couple of reasons why they can legally deny you a name change. And it's if you're trying to change your name for nefarious purposes to evade the law or to, you know, get away from debt. And that's it. So in this case, there's a few things going on here that I want to have her on the show and talk with her about. She went to court in Shenandoah County Circuit Court for a name change to reflect her identity as a female. This comes from the Nevada Daily. Circuit Judge Dennis L. Hupp approved an order Friday granting the name change to Kendra Brill after twice rejecting it and leaving her to live with the legal name that she wished to change. And I don't see why they had to put that in the article. It has nothing to do with it. So I'm not going to read it because it doesn't matter. Brill, 36, of Strasbourg, greeted the news with relief and satisfaction. Here's what happened. Brill has felony conviction. She was arrested 4 times for DUI. She spent some time in jail. Eventually decided, look, I think part of my healing is I need to admit that this is who I am, and this is what I'm going through. And so while in prison, she went to the counselor in jail and said, hey, look, this is what's happening. Like, this is what's going on, and I have to do something about it. And through that helped her recover from the alcoholism as well. You know, so there's a lot of things to talk about in this story. Again, the way that we treat mental illness in this country, and alcoholism, you know, that there's the stigmas attached to stuff that it's really hard for people to get away from. And if you just really try to care about people, genuinely try to care about people without your bullshit getting involved. I can put down my atheism and be friendly with anyone. Mm-hmm. And if we're building a house for an impoverished community, whatever it is, like, as long as you don't try to get me to read your Bible, I won't try to get you to read my atheist science manifesto, right? I won't get you to read my science textbook, the Origin of Species.
Right.
We can put down the bullshit and get along for the common good. And, you know, and so if more people would do that, then we wouldn't have bullshit like this. So anyway, I'm going to try to get a hold of Kendra. She's pretty active on the social media.
Okay.
And see if she'll, or you will, I guess.
Do what I do. Rock on.
That's going to do it for us today. From myself, from my wife, Becca, thank you so much for listening.
Saratalk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Saratalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.
This episode of Saratalk is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Choose from over 180,000 titles in every genre. Audible titles play on iOS, Android, Kindle, and more than 500 devices for convenient listening. Saratalk listeners, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/saratalk and download your free audiobook today.